Alaska state troopers say a witness reported that no one got out of a small plane that flipped and sank on a lake north of Dillingham. A witness says the crash happened Sunday afternoon on Tick-Chick Lake. A guide reported that he and a hunter saw the plane try to land on the lake, but it flipped instead. The guide said he did not see anyone get out of the aircraft and he did not see anyone in the water. Troopers are not releasing additional information about the aircraft or the pilot until they can get to the scene and confirm their initial information. Alaska Airlines suffered a computer glitch yesterday that caused long lines in airports around the Pacific Northwest as travelers faced delays and canceled flights. According to the airline's spokeswoman, Marianne Lindsay, the network outage was caused by the airline's internet provider, Sprint, after a fiber network cable was cut in the Midwest. The Sprint connection affects the system for airline that the airline uses for reservations and check-in.
Our ability to check in passengers and take care of reservations was completely shut off from 7:30 a.m. here Seattle time till about noon. And the result was we had several delays in many airports. Our major airports were affected the worst. Anchorage, Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles had very long delays, up to 4 hours for some customers. We had delays all morning, and we ended up canceling a total of 70 flights.
The failure caused delays in all Alaska Airlines 64 destinations, including airports in Alaska, Canada, and Mexico, and it affected all of the flights for Alaska Airlines partner Horizon Air. Lindsay says affected travelers are being rebooked on today's Alaska Airlines flights or on other airlines. The computer problem affected about 6,000 passengers. About 500 people are supposed to be in Anchorage this week for the Alaska Travel Industry Association's convention and trade show. They'll hear from a variety of industry experts and advocates. ATIA President Ron Peck says this year's tour season was mixed, with more cruise passengers and fewer people driving the Alaska Highway. He says the good news is a larger percentage of international tourists.
We're very encouraged by the fact that Korean Airlines and Japan Airlines both have operated charters again this year. But the other great news, because I think folks see market opportunity, is the fact that Iceland Air has announced twice weekly service starting in 2013.
Another airline, Condor, offers direct flights to and from Germany. The cruise passenger increase was about 6%. Similar growth is projected for next season, bringing the total up to about 1 million people. There's bad news as well. Peck says non-resident sport fishing license sales, once a third of 1 million, have trended downward. That means fewer people are coming to Alaska to fish. The nearly 25% drop over 6 years is tied to stricter halibut catch limits and poor runs.
Given the fact that fishermen talk, and given the fact that there's still concerns about the overall sustainability of the halibut fishery and the concerns that people are seeing on the Kenai and in the Matsu drainages, we as an industry are concerned about what's happening with the fishery in Alaska.
The tourism industry convention runs today through Thursday at Anchorage's Dena'ina Convention Center. The new grand presidents of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood are both from Juneau. Bill Martin and Frieda Westman represent the Juneau AMB Camp 70. The results of polling were announced Friday near the conclusion of the 100th anniversary grand camp meeting in Sitka. Martin says the honor of being grand president also comes with serious responsibility.
We need to really be able to unify all the other camps, you know, the individual camps. And some of them are kind of faltering, and we need to be able to bring them back into the fold. You know, we also need to try to engage with younger people. It's just not like it was in the old days, where it was a natural move as you're getting older to move into the AMB, because right now the world's changed. You know, there's so many different things.
Martin says people have grown less patient with some of the formal proceedings of the AMB ANS, but he says there's much more to the AMB than Robert's Rules of Order.
Well, it was important to me. It was important to my parents and grandparents and the things that they accomplished when I was younger that made it possible for me to get a better education. And it was all through the efforts of the AMB and ANS. They pursued education, and they provided means that we could do that. And so it's my way of trying to pay them back for all that they've done and, you know, molding my life to what it is today.
In addition to Bill Martin, Frieda Westman as Grand Presidents, the Grand Camp Convention elected Sasha Sobolev and Victoria Cannell Dunn as Grand Vice Presidents of the AMB, ANS, respectively. Frank Albee and Beverly Russell as second Grand Vice Presidents, Peter Nowrose and Carol Duas as Grand Secretaries, and James Williams and Brenda Louise as Sergeant at Arms. All terms are for 1 year. The outgoing Grand Presidents, Dennis Demert and Murray Brown, will join the Executive Committee. The next Grand Camp Convention is scheduled for the first week of October next year in Yakutat. There's a new shelter in Juneau for homeless youth. It's a partnership between the Northern Light United Church, the Glory Hole Shelter, and Yukuskege Dakahiti Alternative High School. According to school staff, 72 of the school's 180 students were identified as homeless at some point last spring. The shelter is intended as a safe place for homeless young adults in the Juneau School District. Staff at Yukus will refer students at the school who are ages 18 to 24. The church received $10,000 from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority to convert space in the church to accommodate up to 16 students. And Capital City Fire and Rescue is looking to bolster its volunteer firefighter ranks with a big push to register people for upcoming training programs. Division Chief Ed Quinto says all Capital City Fire and Rescue volunteers start by going through 24 to 40 hours of scene support training to learn how to organize equipment and personnel in an emergency.
The scene support program kind of gets people started to get their feet wet, basically. They get to do all the outside support tasks that does not involve actually putting the fire out or actually being in what I call the hot zone.
Capital City Fire and Rescue offers scene support training for about four times a year, and Quinto says applications can be turned in any time. The big push for volunteers this month is because November 9th is the deadline to apply for Firefighter 1 training, which starts in January and involves about 280 hours of class and on-scene work. Quinto says prospective volunteers should be mentally and physically capable of doing the job.
Being a firefighter is hard work, and so is a scene support person. You'd be lifting some heavy equipment, you know, chainsaws, fire hoses, ladders. You know, some of those things are pretty heavy, so you want to be able to lift at least 50, 60 pounds of weight. You'll be in changing environment. You might be out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's blowing 40 and it's raining. You know, you have to be able to handle those situations.
But Quinto, who started out as a Capital City Fire and Rescue volunteer more than 30 years ago before working his way into a paid position, says it's a rewarding way to give back to the community.
We only have about 36 career staff, and that only about 10 of them are on duty a day between two stations. So if we have a big fire or a big event that occurs, we rely on our volunteers to provide the manpower.
More information about Capital City Fire and Rescue's volunteer training opportunities can be found at the department's website, and you can go to our website at ktoo.org for a link to that.